It's a struggle we can all relate to, especially in rocky economic times like the one we're living in right now.
Our creators have a lot of questions about how to make every dollar count and work within their budget.
It's true. Budgeting can make or break a creative project, and there are a lot of things you need to consider before you even start pre-production.
Costs can add up fast, and we hear from our creators asking, how do they stretch their budgets without compromising their creative visions?
So open up your calculator app and let's start crunching the numbers with some help from a pair of industry insiders. Welcome to First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger, and we're here to help empower new and emerging Canadian content creators by answering their most pressing questions, sharing diverse success stories, and getting insights from people who have been down this road before.
On every episode, we unpack the journey of a leading Canadian creator, or creators, all the way from inception to completion. We'll hear about their wins and their challenges, and ultimately provide the creative community with mentorship and a sense of belonging.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
On this episode, we're going to talk about a very stressful subject for many creators, budgeting. But before we dive into that discussion, Cam, I want to take a second to acknowledge that we are already halfway through our season.
Oh my gosh, I could not believe it. Like, we're learning so much as we're going through this. I feel like we're actually one of our creators in our program, if I'm being honest, Jen.
Oh yeah, for me, it just makes me really appreciate how challenging this entire process is. We're doing it just along with all of our creators. So I want to share a huge kudos to every single person out there that is doing this for a living or doing this in addition to having a full-time job. It is a lot to do. And I want to thank you so much for bearing with us on our own journey.
For sure. And I need to thank everyone for their patience and support. It really does mean a lot to Jen and I. Let's move on and talk about the topic at hand for today's episode.
Budgeting is a tough nut to crack, but there are places you can cut corners and places to guard with your life. So how can you tell the difference?
And to help us learn about how to maximize our budget without sacrificing quality, we are reached out to two people who are super familiar with working with tight budgets and financial constraints.
First, it's my pleasure to introduce Maddie Chang. She is a producer and senior production coordinator at the National Film Board of Canada, as well as a StoryHive alum. Maddie, welcome to First Frame. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And our second guest is a filmmaker and producer behind movies, including the award-winning Cadence. He also happens to be a colleague of ours here at StoryHive. Nicholas A.R.B. Barona is a senior program manager at TELUS StoryHive on location. Thanks for being here today with us.
Thanks so much, Cam, and thanks, Jen, for inviting me. Pleasure to be here.
Let's begin by learning a little bit more about each of your creative journeys. So, Maddie, let's start with you. I understand your career path almost took you in a very different direction.
Yes. When I was in high school, I was very set for some reason on going to physio school and becoming a physiotherapist. And so I had applied to a bunch of kinesiology programs. I had gotten in and I kind of had a last minute freak out where I decided that I was just going to go to film school instead. So I ended up being in Toronto for a year and then I came back home to UBC Film School in Vancouver. And it was definitely the right choice, I'm very glad to say. And I graduated in 2020. And then from there, it was obviously a weird time to graduate and to start working in the film industry just with the pandemic and everything. But I was really lucky to get StoryHive kind of right out of the gate after everything had kind of settled down as kind of my first real, what I thought was, yeah, a real project post-grad. And that really kind of kicked off a whole other series of projects for me at the time.
That's exciting.
And Nicholas, tell us a little bit about you. You know, you got your first job in filmmaking, then you're in digital media, then you're live streaming, and ultimately how you ended up here with us at TELUS StoryHive.
It is quite a long story, but Maddie and I share the fact that we come from the same film school. I am from Colombia, immigrated here for UBC, and then did a bunch of everything that you just said. But it does basically start with a love of film. I think I always wanted to do film. So it was just a matter of finding the right city, the right university and everything. UBC Film was great, as Maddie said, but I graduated in 2012. So I'm showing my age here. but basically just an interest in filmmaking and the fact that filmmaking is evolving into being a part of the larger digital media ecosystem. And then figuring out ways, how can we make movies in this new digital age? So when I was making Cadence, the first feature, it was also a digital media project of how to fund it, using crowdfunding, using social media, that kind of thing. I also volunteered a lot, and that ends up with me working Maddie's job right now, which I was a senior production coordinator at the NFB for 2.5 years during that entire time of the pandemic. And then finally, yeah, I applied to live streaming at StoryHive specifically because it combines everything that I've been talking about. It combines media, digital media, working with creators, and then just helping them make their live streams specifically. But it's also new production. It's basically what we're talking about when we talk about new media.
And thank goodness we snagged you. I'm not letting you go now.
Yeah, as I said, I remember doing your interview, your screening, and so glad you came over from the NFB. So
obviously, you both been in production before. So first, I want to ask you to tell us a little bit about the types of budget constraints that you've both faced in your career. Maddie, let's start with you.
Honestly, I've only ever really been a part of like low budget indie films, aside from obviously working at the National Film Board. That's a different story. But for all the projects that I've done kind of on my own as a freelancer, we're looking at budgets that are probably under like 300K to literally no money. So that's kind of the threshold that I've been working in.
Nick, I want to pass it over to you. Tell us a little bit about the types of projects that you've worked on and the budget constraints that you've had to deal with.
I mean, again, similar to Maddie, it's like there's the budgets of the NFB, which are much larger. But what it's kind of hilarious is that the NFB's budgets, even though being larger, they tend to actually be fairly small for, say, global filmmaking, right? So a typical NFB movie is never going to be the same budget level as, say, the Avengers. So I'm also on the lower end of the spectrum, basically down from $0 all the way up to probably the most expensive project was $800K. And I think it got up to $1 million, which sounds like money. But in Canada, that's not a lot. And in global cinema, that's not a lot.
For the next part of our conversation, I'd love to talk about some of the budget-related challenges that each of you have faced in your creative careers. This is definitely an area that many of our brand new creators struggle with, and I think that hearing some of your challenges and how you overcame them will really help them feel less alone on their creative journeys. So what is the biggest lesson you have learned when it comes to budgeting?
I think I'm one of those rare people that likes budgeting, but it's because it lets me sort of see, it feels like the project is coming into reality at that moment. And the biggest lesson is that essentially, however much budget you have, that will dictate effectively what you can actually make. Even you can think of the most incredible film in the world, but if you don't have the capacity to get a VFX artist, if you don't have the capacity to get a DOP with a giant camera rig and all of that, then you have to figure out sometimes an entirely different movie. And that can be equally exciting. Or basically, you just try to figure out how to make this movie with as little money as possible, with as many connections as you can make, and with the equipment that you have.
Exactly. And we definitely see that when we are reviewing pitches that come in. We see everything from very ambitious, wondering how they're going to create this very elaborate project with the grant that we're providing. Maybe there's funding elsewhere, to very minimal projects that when we review a pitch, it's very doable. A little bit easier to greenlight some of those projects. Maddie, over to you. What would be your biggest lesson?
I think my biggest lesson, especially when starting out and learning how to budget for a film, whether that's, a scripted film versus a doc film, because those are also two very different types of budgets.
Right.
I think is really reaching out to producers who have a lot of experience under their belt in whatever projects that they produce. And really just having a conversation with them to kind of figure out what kind of the norm is for certain line items that you should be budgeting. Because I know for myself, when I first started out, I really had no idea like how much things costed. Aside from maybe like meals and gas and all those kind of like logistical expenses, it's kind of difficult to kind of have your pulse on. Yeah, it's like, what does a sound recordist in the city make these days? What does a camera package look like? And then it's like, okay, well, I guess it depends on the type of camera that you're wanting to rent, or how many days should this shoot be? Because sometimes it's kind of like a chicken and egg situation where you're trying to figure out how many days the shoot is going to be, but then you're looking at the amount of money you have and you're like, but how many days can we actually shoot for? And so that type of knowledge and being able to wrap your head around those kind of questions. I think it's really valuable to be able to kind of have a mentor, have another producer that you can kind of lean on to be like, do these numbers make sense? Like, is this realistic? Is this feasible? Is it not? So I think that was definitely something that really helped me at the beginning.
Where do you find you run the greatest risk when it comes to planning your budget on unexpected or things that our creators may not think about to put into their budget?
Honestly, that could be almost anywhere, but I would say usually the biggest budget line items in most indie films are going to be transportation, locations, food, camera, but that's if you don't pay people. Right. If you pay people,
yeah. Want to get paid.
Yeah. If you
people
pay like people, money. That is your biggest expense. And so if you are paying people, even if it's $100 a day, but you need 40 man crew and you're shooting however many days, you can do the multiplication and then you'll see that that's a lot of money, right? So if you're not paying people, then honestly, it's really a lot of the times it's locations. So we had the farm in Cadence, for example, but the farm was in Langley and everybody lived in Vancouver. So we were paying gas and we were paying transportation.
Yeah, the travel.
And we were setting up rides for people and that kind of stuff. Food, right. You can kind of cheap out on, but at the same time, how happy is your crew going to be if you're feeding them pizza and sushi every single day, right?
Right, yeah. So before Maddie jumps in, I'm like, on average, how much do you put in your budget for contingency when we're working on a film, Nico?
So what they taught me in film school, that I don't know if that's the same that education Maddie received, was 10%, which is pretty big. But I love 10%, and sometimes I actually love 12%. All the way up to 15. But I've seen professional productions where it's as low as 2% because that's just the money they have.
And Maddie, what about you? What do you think is the most unexpected cost that you incur when you're creating a film?
It's kind of funny because I feel like every new budget I do now, I'm always learning from the things that came up on the last show that I was like, whoa, like didn't account for that. So it's kind of like an ongoing kind of learning situation. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, just learning also about all the support crew that you have within like your camera team and your Grip and LX team and whether or not they need prep days, whether or not they need wrap days, whether or not they have personal kits that they charge for, and knowing to ask those questions ahead of time, asking your department heads, like, do you think you're going to need a camera assistant for your prep and wrap? And just knowing to ask those questions so that you're able to budget those things in. Those were things that definitely in the past have kind of crept up on me. It's a lot of just kind of the miscellaneous things that you kind of just forget about. So it's like the extra hard drive that you forgot to buy or the extra set of batteries that the sound person needs.
So then it sounds like you also need a contingency. So are you a similar percentage to Nico?
I was also taught 10%, but okay. I think sometimes, you know, realistically, you look at your budget and 10% can be a lot, especially for smaller projects. I try to stay within like a 5 to 10% range, just kind of, and then kind of based on the project, being able to play around with that a little bit.
So we have a lot more to unpack on budgeting, but now we want to take a quick break and we want to have a little fun with each of you, which is a game we like to play on the podcast called Cutting Room 4.
So here's how it works. We're going to give each one of you 60 seconds and we want you to tell us about the best idea or concept you've ever had that you've either had to scrap, scale down, or rethink for budgetary reasons. So Nick, why don't you go first?
Sure. We had this impactful scene in the film that required tree cutting, and we ended up having to basically kill about 6 trees. And those 6 trees, 3 of them, you know, were kind of useless stakes. 2 of them were sort of close accidents. No one got killed. One almost killed the camera. Another one got 3 or 4 different chainsaws stuck in its roots. We had to get somebody else to basically free them. And then at the end of the day, like, we only really have one take that is like basically acceptable. And even though this was supposed to be a huge plot point in the film, it's just like zero importance now in the final film. It's a tough lesson in that sense, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of takes just for one tree cut. But what about yourself, Maddie?
I worked on a short with my friend Derek Kwan, and he wrote a short about Chinese family having dinner at Chinese restaurant. We were trying to figure out, you know, what restaurants in town could maybe work, or if we needed to pivot to shooting in the studio and kind of recreating a restaurant feel. But our director found this restaurant that was actually no longer in business, but they had Score. Everything still there already. Score, exactly. And so our associate producer somehow tracked down the owner of the restaurant. We connected with him and he was like, yeah, this place isn't being torn down for another year. So it's just sitting here empty. So we were able to have access to this full Chinese restaurant space for about like 2 weeks before we filmed. So we were able to bring in actors and actually have them rehearse in the space ahead of time. And it was one of those weird little things that no one had really expected to happen in terms of like us getting a location. But yeah, it was a very weird kind of thing that everything kind of just worked out.
Now let's get into some actionable advice for our creators that are watching or listening to this podcast. What are the very first steps creators should be taking when they're putting their budget together?
Yeah, I think this kind of goes back to what I mentioned before about really just reaching out to a creator, a filmmaker who's kind of made a film similar to you that you want to make or isn't that genre or that style of film that you want, and just really having a coffee chat with them and seeing what worked on their film, what didn't, what the kind of rates in town are at the moment, and being able to really pull information from that person so that you have a better sense of what your budget should be.
Doing your research, doing those coffee chats. Yeah, I love that advice. Nico, what about you?
I totally agree with the research part. I'm one of those filmmakers that still calls rental houses and just tries to get a number, like a number of how much something costs, like immediately, even if they're going to change their mind later or give me a discount or whatever. But I think aside from that, I start from contingency and the ideal budget. I kind of go through everything and I start putting numbers of things that I already know. Even if I don't really know them, then it's just Google research. Oh, okay, what's the cost of a printer? What's the cost of a lumberjack? Whatever, right? And I try to basically balloon the budget as much as possible and then work in the aftermath to sort of chip away at everything.
Nick, based on that, with your sort of, here's my ideal budget, let's chat some of the areas that you can cut corners and find efficiencies. And then what are the line items you absolutely cannot compromise on?
For me, it's like you cannot compromise on food and you cannot compromise on transportation. Again, that is if you're not paying people. Apart from that, you cannot compromise on insurance. Insurance is one of those things that's like very hard to negotiate. It's usually going to be a very set price. And the only way to negotiate it is to call another insurance company and see if they can give you a better rate.
Play one off the other. Maddie, what about you? What are maybe some of the areas that you can cut?
For sure. I think with your gear, you can definitely get discounts at various rental houses. And there's definitely rental houses in town who do love supporting, you know, emerging creators who are on the come up in the scene. And so really kind of putting forth that story that you're starting out or that you have a vision for your project or it's a passion project. And there's definitely some, gear houses who will be able to kind of cut that camera package in half. So you're not spending kind of like a full union show rate on it. So equipment's definitely something that you can cut corners on.
All the creators are going to reach out to find out which rental houses those are, right? Your DMs are going to blow up.
And not even rental houses. Like, you know, there's a lot of independent people who rent out their own, you know, personal packages too. So just being able to contact them and figure out a deal or a rate too, I always find can be a really useful thing as well.
One thing that keeps coming up that I've noticed in our conversation today is you keep talking about your connections or your Rolodex, your network. So how important is it to continue to foster those relationships when trying to create a film on a limited budget?
Going back to what Nick said about the IOUs and kind of keeping track of all the favors that you owe people or that people owe you. And it's not in kind of like a negative way, but just in a way of making sure that I'm still able to support these people after they've helped me out on the project, whether that's on their projects and, you know, offering my time to helping them, or even just like supporting their projects after they've been released and showing up at their screenings and showing up on social media and, you know, grassroots promoting their projects as well. I think that's always a great way to keep people connected and also show that you still support people even long after they've worked on a project for you.
To me, connections, it's the number one most important thing. Connections is how I ended up at TELUS. Connections is how I ended up at the NFB. And it's also how I got in most of my jobs, just in general, and gigs like that. For example, the IOUs, going back to that, just about 2 weeks ago, I was on a short film and I was just helping people out, putting up lights, holding the slate, like doing what are considered below the line jobs, not producer roles as I'm known. And it's not because I'm expecting compensation or that somebody is going to eventually pay, you know, I'm expecting a little bit of, you're going to pay me forward in the future.
Right.
Well, it seems like you've both had obviously incredible experience with films of varying budgets. So with all of your learnings and experience, do you have any final advice, words of wisdom that you'd love to share when it comes to budgeting for our viewers and listeners?
Learn Excel or Google Sheets and just like fall in love with it like I have.
That might be hard to fall in love. That might be pushing it just a little bit.
There's so many people that I have to say think are scared of Excel. But yeah, I agree with you, Nico. Fall in love with Excel. The numbers tell a story, help you get the funding that you need. It's really, really important.
I would say to really just like embrace the challenge. I know it can be really daunting, especially if you're doing your first budget or just even doing your 10th budget. But I think just, yeah, really embracing the process and kind of just diving in headfirst, embracing the fact that you're going to make mistakes, embracing the fact that you're probably going to forget something and you'll realize it, you know, months down the line. But I think it's such an exciting step of the process. And there's nothing better than really like getting that notification that you've received a grant or that you've received the funding. Someone's looked at your budget and your script and said, yeah, like we want you to make this.
Before we wrap up, are there any budgeting related resources you'd recommend to our listeners and viewers to check out?
Well, I'll tell you one. It's called storyhive.com.
Woo-woo!
Shameless plug.
Just because if you even just start an application, you can see how our amazing budgeting template works. But also, honestly, here in Canada, most agencies have a template. You can talk to the Canada Council, you can talk to Telefilm, and they have templates for available for you to download. And honestly, if you just Google film template, there's a billion of them.
That's good to know. They will appreciate that. Maddie, any other resources you can think of?
I would say YouTube is your friend. And really going down that rabbit hole of all the videos that are on there and just really taking the time to do your research and your homework. Studiobinder.com is also a great resource for new and emerging filmmakers.
Great suggestion. So honestly, thank you both. And thank you also for spending time with us here at First Frame.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Cam, obviously, you know that I love numbers and budgets as much as you do, but it's definitely not necessarily a strong suit for all of our creators. And I feel like, regardless, still learned so much from Nick and Maddie today. So what are some of your key takeaways from the conversation today?
100% agree. I think their numbers, as I mentioned, tell a story. So I think one of my biggest key takeaways that we got from today is your network is really important with that. Being able to like barter or trade your skills to help reduce the cost of your budget, I think was a really big takeaway for me today. And then the other really big one that Maddie had mentioned a couple of times is unexpected expenses. So plan for those because they're going to come up. You're maybe going to have to do more retakes than you thought you were going to have to do. You're maybe going to need an extra shooting day or you need that hard drive she mentioned. So I think that's unexpected expenses. And it's, Nico said, falling in love with Excel. I think there was a lot of good takeaways, to be honest with you. What about you?
For me, I actually really loved Nick's advice about build your budget for your dream project and then scale it down. And I think there's something to be said about being creative with your story and your idea, but also being creative with your budget, right? So using your network, as you mentioned, bartering back and forth, trading skills, and jumping in to help out on other projects in the hopes that you can call in those favors later on. Obviously, no guarantee that you'll get those favors, but if you're jumping in to help out other projects, people are going to appreciate it and they're likely to help you in future. So that's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us today.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And be sure to tune in next time, where we're going to focus on a topic that comes up a lot, building support for your project and rallying your creative community.
If you'd like to learn more about how TELUS StoryHive can help you along your content creation journey, be sure to check out storyhive.com. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.